Good evening, everyone. We're glad you joined us again. We'll pick up with Psalms chapter 46 and verse 1. This is really talking about the kingdom of God on this earth, the world tomorrow. It's looking ahead. David understood that. He looked forward to it. He sang about it. He preached about it. He prayed about it. Psalms 46 and verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. There are certain verses that stick in my mind, and I will think about them over and over, and I'll go read them over and over. And I recommend you do that as well. And this is one of them. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Another translation says, an abundantly available help. When we get really close to God and we walk with Him, we talk with Him, we yield to Him and surrender to Him and look to Him and trust Him and rely on Him, we know that He is our refuge and strength, and He is a very present help in trouble, ever present, always there, 24 hours a day, always available. We're never alone. We're never by ourselves. We're never up against something, and therefore then we are at the mercy of an uncontrollable situation or an uncontrollable individual, because God is a very present help in trouble. And we need to remember that and call upon Him. And look to Him and trust Him, and He will always be there if we're trying to obey Him and serve Him. Verse 2, therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, earthquakes and trembling and all kinds of catastrophic disasters that we surely have been subjected to this year, about as much as any year I've known of in my life, and yet we haven't walked around in fear and paranoia. We've been alert, we've been cautious, but we know we're in God's hands. He will always be a very present help in trouble. Verse 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High, the dwelling places of the Most High. You can read about this river over in Ezekiel, and when we get to Ezekiel, I'll explain it a little bit further. There's going to be some incredible things happen in the kingdom of God when Jesus Christ returns to this earth and establishes His throne in Jerusalem, and everything is turned into an absolutely beautiful, breathtaking situation and atmosphere and place to live in every direction. Abundant rain and streams and rivers and trees and grass and flowers and crops, absolutely a wonderful place. And a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. The Bible talks about that, and it says it's for the healing of the nations, coming right out of Jerusalem in the world tomorrow. Verse 5, God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. He's talking about the city of God, Jerusalem. He's talking about Mount Zion. He's talking about the headquarters of the world where Jesus Christ will set up His throne and we'll be there with Him. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He utters His voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Just imagine the time is coming when Jesus Christ, the King Himself, will be on this earth in a particular location, at a particular time, and rule this earth, and we'll be there with Him, ruling with Him. We'll be able to talk to Him. We'll be able to see Him. We'll be able to be around Him and with Him. We will carry out His orders and the responsibilities and duties that He gives us. Is this real to us? Do we see this? Do we believe this? Are we caught up in this? I hope so. The coming feast, I hope, will help us to really have that renewed in our mind, because this is not pie in the sky daydreaming here. What we're reading about is literal. It's real. It's coming. We've been called to be a part of it. We've got to put our focus right on those things and off of this world, but on those things that are coming. That's where our orientation and focal point has got to be. Verse 8, Psalms 46. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations He has made in the earth. And He's going to have to do that in order to bring the earth under His authority. Cities are going to be laid waste. Man won't listen to anything else but that. So that's what he's going to do. Verse 9, but then look what happens. He makes wars to cease unto the end of the earth. Now, you hear about ceasefires? That's a real ceasefire right there. No more wars. He breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in sunder. He burns the chariot in the fire. Be still. You know, when I read that phrase, be still, what that means to me is just hold on a minute. Take note. Admit it. Face it. Take a look. Give some thought to it. Be still. Don't let your mind wander. Don't be flitting off here, flitting off there, flitting off the other place. This is what we're talking about. Be still. Face it. Admit it. Take note. Be still and know that I am God. Let it sink in. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What wonderful, fantastic, amazing promises, amazing prophecies, amazing events that are described in Psalms 46. We live in a world where there's such altered reality and such desensitization and such gobbledygook going around. And while we are removed from the world spiritually, we are in the world physically, but not part of it. But we are impacted by this. And what we have to do is put forth maximum effort, not to let that dominate our thinking and our conversation in our lives, but let this dominate our thinking and our conversation in our lives until this becomes real. This is not just, oh, I hope this happens. Oh, I wish this would happen. Oh, I can hardly wait till this happens. This is really going to happen. And if I endure to the end, I'm going to be a part of it. And so that's what I'm hoping for. That's what I'm living for. That's what I'm moving forward toward, what we're reading right here, because this is reality. Now let's notice Psalms chapter 47. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Now there's a place to do that. And you don't just yell and scream, but there's some volume and some rejoicing goes on from time to time about God's greatness and about God's great plan. And there's joy and expressions of excitement and enthusiasm. For the Lord Most High is terrible. Well, it really means awesome. He's not terrible. He's wonderful and he's awesome. He is a great king over all the earth. You see how this has to be talking about Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God? It can't be talking about anything else but that. He is a great king over all the earth. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet. That means we're going to have leadership positions. And we're going to talk about this more and more, and probably even at the feast. We need to understand that we have to qualify for positions in the kingdom. It's not just a matter of being given the gift of salvation. We're going to get that gift of salvation. We're going to have to be living our lives in a way that we are qualifying for positions in the kingdom of God. We are overcoming and growing and developing so that with God's help, not on our own, but with God's help, we're qualifying to be kings and priests and teachers and leaders. And then we're given the gift of salvation and put in those positions. But what we do on a day-by-day basis, I will do that, I won't do that, I will look there, I won't look there, I will say this, I won't say that, I'll make choices without getting all wound up about it and fidgety and jumpy about it. As we go through our day, we're trying to make better and better choices and avoid more and more bad choices. That's called character building. And that leads to one day, because we are overcoming and growing, qualifying for very wonderful, fulfilling positions of leadership in the kingdom of God. That's what it says here. He shall subdue the people under us and the nations under our feet, and we're going to be in charge of some mighty big responsibilities. He shall choose our inheritance for us, the excellency of Jacob, whom he loved, Selah. God is gone up with a shout, the Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Remember reading over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that Jesus Christ comes back to this earth with a shout, with the sound of the trumpet? We'll read about that on the Feast of Trumpets. He's excited about coming back to this earth and taking over and turning it around and making things right at last. I hope we're excited about that because we're going to be a part of it. Sing praises to God. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. Do we get the point? Sing praises. He loves for us to sing praises to Him. Songs of joy and happiness. Songs of gladness, dedicated to him. For God is the King of all the earth, sing you praises with understanding. God reigns over the heathen. God sits upon the throne of his holiness. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, princes of the people. Can you see yourself as a prince, as a king, as a leader, as a teacher, as royalty? That's where you're headed. That's what we've been called to. That's what we're in training for now. Mr. Armstrong said, we've been called now, yes, for salvation, yes, to get the work done. But the main reason we've been called now is to overcome and grow and learn and develop so that one day we can be kings and priests and teachers in the kingdom of God. That's one of the main responsibilities of the church in feeding the flock, is to educate and train and lead and teach sons and daughters of God how they and how we all can be growing and changing and overcoming and preparing for and qualifying for positions of leadership and rulership in the kingdom of God. That's way more important than gratification of the flesh, temporary entertainment and amusement. Way more important than anything that we might be facing today that we find distracts us or discourages us. Just bypass all that and start concentrating on what we're reading here in God's Word. The princes of the people are gathered together, even the people of the God of Abraham, for the shields of the earth belong unto God. He is greatly exalted, and we're going to be a part of all that because he's called us to be. Now we'll keep moving right along here. Psalms 48, verse 1. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness, Jerusalem, Mount Zion, the city of God, in the mountain of his holiness. Verse 2. Beautiful for situation. And it is a beautiful place. It's not as beautiful as it was in the beginning because man has trampled it underfoot and there's been so many wars fought over Jerusalem that it's been devastated, but it still has its own beauty, situated in a beautiful, kind of elevated type of hill country, and a beautiful climate on a good day. Think of how beautiful it's going to be when Christ comes back and renews it to its full potential. Beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great king. Mount Zion is one of the hills on which Jerusalem is built. It was the location of David's throne and where David ruled from, his palace. God is known in her palaces for a refuge. For lo, the kings were assembled. They passed by together. They saw it, and so they marveled. They were troubled and hasted away. Fear took hold upon them there, and pain as of a woman in travail, because they were so overwhelmed by the beauty and by the power of it. And they realized they were in a location on this earth that was set aside and sanctified and special, is what he's saying. And that's what's going to happen in the future as well. Can you imagine approaching the city of God where Jesus Christ dwells and his family and his government? It's not going to be a light, flippant thing like you might go into some city today. This is going to be the mountain of his holiness and the city of our God. Verse 7, you break the ships of Tarshish with an east wind. He's so powerful. He controls the wind, he controls the water, he controls everything. The ships of Tarshish were merchant ships from different areas in the Mediterranean that would bring goods and supplies from many different locations, sometimes from Spain. And it wasn't just in the Mediterranean. They were merchant ships that would bring merchandise from India. But apparently there also was a particular place, perhaps where they were built and where they may be operated out of primarily, named Tarshish. But it's just basically talking about merchant ships, and they don't want to get caught in an east wind, and God has the power to do that if he decides to. So we better stand in awe of him. Verse 8, as we have heard, so have we seen in the city of the Lord of hosts, in the city of our God. God will establish it forever. Think about that. You know, we have our hometown. We have a city we grew up in or a town where we went to school. And you say, well, where are you from? Well, we're from such and such place. Well, where's your hometown? Well, it's such and such place. And we have special feelings and memories that are built into that location because of things that happened there and because of part of our life spent there. Well, there's coming a time when there will be a particular location on this earth and a particular city called the city of our God. And that's where he'll be. And that's where we'll be, operating out of there. His throne will be there. And his authority and power will emanate from there and then engulf the whole earth. And that changes everything. This is what we're reading about here. This is going to happen. David knew this. He rejoiced and sung and taught and prayed about this. It was on his mind. Verse 9, we have thought of your loving kindness, O God, in the midst of your temple. According to your name, O God, so is your praise unto the ends of the earth. Your right hand is full of righteousness. Can you imagine on any given day that God is being praised in India, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Zimbabwe, Zambia, all over the British Isles, Canada, Mexico, South Africa, throughout the United States, whatever country and whatever continent you want to think about, the time is coming when day in and day out, the knowledge of the Lord will cover the earth, and that's what people will talk about. There will be prayers about that, discussions about that. It'll be on people's minds. God, His way, His truth, His commandments, His blessings, lessons from Him, guidance from Him. What a world that will be, and we'll be a part of it. A very, very integral part of it. Verse 11, Psalms 48. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of your judgments. Walk about Zion and go round about her. Tell the towers thereof, count them. Mark you well her bulwarks, consider her palaces, that you may tell it to the generation following. For this God is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even unto death. Now, I want to take a little time with that as well. He will be our guide even unto death. We know that it's appointed to all men once to die, and then the judgment. And it's something that is an enemy. And it's something that we all will face. But you know, when we're close to God, He's going to be right there with us, even all the way through until death. He will be our guide, even unto death. He's not going to leave us or forsake us and just kind of walk out on us. And there we are, by ourselves, just dying. He's going to be right there. He's going to help us. He's going to strengthen us, comfort us. And we're going to know, well, this has to happen before I can be given eternal life. And we know that God will resurrect us into eternal life, and He's not going to leave us just forsaken on our deathbed either. He will be our guide even unto death. And if He chooses to end our life, He will provide strength for us to endure faithfully all the way to the end. And it's very, very precious to Him when one of His people, it comes time for them to die. That's what the Bible says. Let's notice over here in Psalms 116. Psalms 116 and verse 15. And you think of loved ones that have died and friends that have died. Well, I can tell you right now, God was there with them. And He was taking note. And He won't forget. And they'll be resurrected. And He gave them peace and He gave them strength at that time. And their loved ones as well. Just notice here in Psalms 116 and verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And He doesn't take it carelessly. He takes note of it. He marks it well. His eyes are focused on them. It's a very precious thing because His saints are precious. Their death is precious as well. And He'll be our guide right there. And then our next waking moment, He will resurrect us into His kingdom. So when we understand what He has to say about death and the truth of it, it's very comforting and very strengthening because it's not something that is going to come along and then we're just going to be abandoned, tossed aside. What good are we now? We're dying. No, He's going to be right there with us. And then making plans for making sure that our next waking moment, we are alive forever. So let's just keep those verses in mind and think about that if we ever begin to think about life and death and realize it's not something to fear or be terrified of. It's something to be comforted about in the light of the way God cares for us. He will guide us. We're very precious in His sight, and He will be with us, even though, of course, it is an enemy. It doesn't have to be an enemy that conquers us. The Bible says we gain victory over death through the resurrection. That brings us to the end of Psalms chapter 48, and we'll pick it up next time as we continue this Bible study through the book of Psalms. Until next time, this is Charles Bryce with the Enduring Church of God.